grant us now understanding and appreciation of what you've done in these eventful days before your resurrection, your great victory over all that oppresses man. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Maundy Thursday did not begin with the Roman Catholic Church. This day has been a tradition in many of the older Christian denominations and communions, the Eastern Orthodox, the Anglican. It goes back actually as far as the ancient church. Sometimes it's called Holy Thursday. But it commemorates the same events, and that is the institution of a new commandment by Jesus. This is a phrase that he used at the Last Supper. The word maundy is taken from the Latin mandatum, meaning mandate or command. We get the word mandatory from that. Its origins actually have a Jewish root to them. At the Last Supper, which wasn't simply a dinner that they had, but rather it was a ritual meal, a teaching meal called a Seder, meaning a liturgical meal. The word Seder in Hebrew means an order. There was a liturgical order of worship in this meal that Christ followed. This was required of Jews in the ceremonial law of Moses, and at this dinner they would eat a sacrificed lamb with wine, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs to remember the bitterness of slavery. There would be a washing ceremony during the meal, and during the meal, Jesus did something unconventional, not part of the Seder. He rose from supper and took a wash basin and tied up his robe and began to wash his disciples' feet like a house servant. Peter objected to this. He believed it was not the place of a master, a rav. Rabbi means my master. It wasn't the place of a rabbi to act as a servant to disciples. But Christ answered, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." The physical washing of the feet was not his point. It was a teaching tool. It was an example here. Nor was the dust or the dirt on the outward flesh on someone's feet. That is not what he came to wash his disciples from ultimately. He came to wash Peter, yes, and the other disciples and us as well, if we believe in him, but from something more permanent, more defiling than dirt on the skin. Something that all these ceremonial washings in the Old Testament were pointing to all along, were indicating. The Jews had many kind of outward washings, not just the ones at Passover. Mark's gospel, for example, tells us in his chapter 7, it says, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders." See, it was the tradition of the elders. The actual Bible didn't command them to do all this washing, but they did it anyway. And the reason they did this was that they were aware that somehow they were unclean. Not outwardly, but inwardly. The truth of it was they were right. And so with this in mind, Christ is teaching the disciples, and by extension, he's teaching us as well, that there is a defilement that he came to wash away from, that he came to wash us away from, far more serious than dirt on the skin or dirt on the feet. They didn't understand this yet. We see this reflected in the text, John 13:7, Christ saying, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And at this meal, what he was preparing to do was by an act of the greatest humility and the greatest servanthood, greater even than washing someone's feet, he was preparing to wash them with his blood. He was planning to present himself as a substitute victim to God so that the wrath of God would pass over them. That's where we get this word Passover from. So that the wrath of God would pass over them and instead fall upon him. And in that way, they would be cleansed. He would be made sin for them. As it says, he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us that we might be righteous. And then he was going to be punished for that sin by his death. And when he died, he went into the realm of the dead. He paid this penalty. And when he rose, it showed that all those sins had been paid for. And by that way, they would be cleansed. He was willing to do this for them. But only by this act of complete humility would this be accomplished. Not through military victory. They were hoping for a military Messiah. Not through that. And so, though they didn't understand that then, he teaches them that by this illustration, at this meal, and then fulfilled on the cross, he will serve them by saving their souls, and us as well. He will serve them by saving their souls and the only washing that God ultimately accepts. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said when he first saw Christ coming to be washed in the River Jordan. So this is what St. Paul meant when he wrote in Romans 5, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so this is what he was showing them at Passover and what he would demonstrate for them and complete for them only a few hours later on the cross. And then he gives a new commandment, a new mandatum, John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And by this all men shall know that you are my disciples." Apparently the way the gospel is best made known is by the love of brethren for one another. The world sees this. And so this is the meditation we should have this evening on this Maundy Thursday. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this meditation. We ask, Lord God, that you would seal this in us. And now that what we do this in remembrance of what you began and what you do. You said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.